Good morning, and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. Just call 716-433-1433.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, March 8th, and this is Ask the Pro here on WLVL 1340 AM, streaming worldwide at WLVL.com. And I am pleased to say that I am joined in studio this morning with our very own Dr. Ken Kerbs from Kerbs Family Chiropractic and Wellness, located at 741 Davison Road here in the city of Lockport. Good morning, Dr. Ken.
Good morning, Eric. How are you today?
I am well. I'm happy. It's a beautiful, glorious, sunshiny day out there. I don't see a downside to any of it.
Yes. It gets a little confusing for people because me especially, you know, I went out there and went crazy in my yard cleaning up and stuff over last weekend and that. And I paid a little bit of a price for that in that I stirred up a lot of bugs and they decided to take advantage of me while I was out there. So, and my wife says, didn't you watch the news? They were talking about not going out there now because it's too early. And I said, oh, I didn't watch the news. So I just took advantage of the nice time that I had, and I got the entire yard cleaned up. So it was good.
Sweet. Yeah, I think some of the bees like it when you wait.
Yeah, it is really exceptionally early. I've never ever been able to do that. But again, the timing was right. I had the time, the weather was perfect, and I had the right mindset, and I went out there and I just did it, you know. And you know, for people who know me, I have a garden wedding at my house this July with my first child getting married, and the wedding is taking place in our backyard, so I'm trying to get as much done ahead of time as I possibly can to prepare.
Can't blame you for that.
I feel the pressure.
Absolutely. Yeah. When is the wedding?
July 6th.
Oh, that's
July 6th.
I hate to say it, but that's right around the corner.
Yes, it is. Yes, it's only a few months away.
It is.
Yeah, and it happens to be on the, of course, the 4th of July holiday weekend, which is, you know, creates another whole dynamic. So that's good. And, of course, it's the weekend before the Lockport Garden Walk and all that stuff that I'm intimately involved with.
Right, so you really won't have much to do this summer then.
No, not at all. Not
that's
at all.
Good. Yeah, so speaking of things that are not far away, a month from today is the big eclipse.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's interesting because it's funny. It's April 8th. This April 8th, now for people know, my father passed away a year ago. But on April 8th would have been his 95th birthday. So he made it to 94. So not quite to 95, but he would have celebrated his 95th birthday on the solar eclipse. So.
Wow, yeah, it's my daughter's 39th birthday.
Oh, really?
Yes, on the 8th, yes. So we're,
yeah, it's good. You know, it's going to be interesting. People are getting a little crazy about it. I mean, you can't get hotels or anything along the path now, and, you know, everybody's capitalizing on it. I said, God, I got 4 empty bedrooms in my house, and maybe I should rent them out for the eclipse, you know?
You could make a killing. You know. Yeah, we're going to a wedding. My son is getting married. And he has rented a restaurant somewhere in Buffalo with rooftop seating for the restaurant.
And it's going to be on the 8th?
Yes.
They're having to get married on a Monday?
During the eclipse.
During the eclipse.
Yes.
How cool. That's cool.
Yeah, he's thought of everything.
That's great.
It is. Yeah, they live in New Orleans, but they'll be coming back up to Buffalo for that. So it's going to be a very interesting day.
Yeah.
No question there.
Yeah. You'll have to put out the night lights out. I'm curious to see how dark is it actually going to get, you know, and for how long, you know, is it going to be so, you know, is it going to be like nighttime? I don't know
what either, but it's only supposed to last like 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's known.
Can you imagine people are traveling from all over the world to come here for that?
Yes.
It's like,
we're
going to
get a million plus people here in Niagara County.
Well, that's great for the economic boost of Niagara County. I'm thrilled about that.
Yes.
But I just think about that. It's like, really? I'm going to travel across the world and spend an ungodly amount of money, because of course everybody's taking advantage of that situation.
Oh, yeah. Hotel rooms like $800-$900.
Right. Well, wow.
If you
God,
can get
what
one.
Can I get for a room in my house?
Well, you could include breakfast.
I would.
$800, baby.
I would.
Times four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Interesting.
Yeah, well, we'll never be bored. That's all. That's for sure. It's just going to be curious, you know, to see a million people try to leave all at once.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked to Chief Abbott here of Lockport and Jonathan Schultz, who is the emergency management director of the county, and Sheriff Filicetti, and at great lengths about this. And there's, we're not officially having any events because nobody wants the liability.
Right.
The city of Lockport, no official recognition of the event.
Right.
However, they expect, you know.
I find it. It's going to be interesting. You know, are we going to really notice a phenomenal impact, or it could be, I don't know, it could be a dud? I don't know.
I don't know. It worked for Christopher Columbus. Do you remember that story?
No.
He extorted the Native Americans. He knew there was an eclipse coming up, and he told them, you know, if you don't feed us and do whatever, you will make the gods angry. And there was an eclipse the next day, and the Indians went, this cat knows what he's talking about.
I don't know if we could pull that off now.
I don't think we could now, but boy, he extorted the heck out of him back then.
Yeah. But that's just it. This is a time. This is what frustrates me, is that here's a time now where people will be definitely taken advantage of because of a situation like this. You know, like, again, we were just talking briefly about my daughter's wedding, which happens to fall on it's on the 6th of July, but that is the 4th of July holiday weekend. Well,
right.
all the hotel rates are up like 70, 80 bucks a night because it's the holiday weekend.
Right.
You know, and I mean, the vast majority of people that are coming to the wedding are from out of town,
mm-hmm.
you know, since my future son-in-law is from Western Canada, and, you know, and then they've got people coming in from Thailand, South Africa, Turkey, you know, all these places that are coming, you know, coming to the wedding. I mean, my daughter and future son-in-law have, you know, have quite a worldwide friend group, you know.
Yes, yes.
What they've been doing for the last 8 or 9 years.
Yeah,
they
got the international gig.
You know, they really have quite the, quite the international gig. And she threw out some invitations to people she thought would never make the trip, and they said, hey, we're coming. So, you know, so.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, so that's okay. That's okay. They can accommodate for that. But, it's surprising. It's surprising how some people are literally coming from South Africa,
right.
Thailand, and Turkey are the three countries that I know of for sure. And Norway, of course, we've got a Norway contingency too. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, plus then the vast majority of people attending will be non-U.S. citizens.
Right.
Coming legally, of course. So.
Oh, what?
Yes.
They're going to come through the right way?
Yes.
Coming in through the front door?
Right. As a matter of fact, the one that's coming from South Africa, he's actually obtaining his visa now.
Oh, great.
You know, so that he can be prepared properly to do
right.
that. Because it's quite an ordeal for foreigners like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he currently lives in Thailand from South Africa, so he's got to go through quite a bit to get a visa to be able to visit, the same way with Turkey and things like that. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But they're preparing ahead of time. So.
Well, that's the five P's. Six, if you want to throw a profanity in there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Dr. Ken Curbs here on WLVL's Ask the Pro. He is owner, proprietor, chief bottle washer, CEO of Curbs Family Chiropractic and Wellness, located at 741 Davison Road. And if you would like to have a consultation with him at his office number is 434-0671. But until then, you can call here and talk to him right now, right here, right now, live on the radio. All you have to do is call the station, 433-1433, 433-1433. Get your questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, just about any subject matter. He's going to have an opinion or know something about it. So we'd love to hear from you.
I do have to have an opinion on a lot of things, so.
Yeah, and that's okay.
I like to stay away from politics, but sometimes I have an opinion there too. But pretty much any topic goes.
That's right. We'll stay away from 1600 Pennsylvania
right.
for the moment.
Right. No, I don't want to go there. Yeah, so what are we going to talk about today? So I really want to, you know, I mean, again, the whole purpose of me being here is for people to give people the opportunity to call in and, you know, with their questions and concerns. We don't have a whole lot of hot topics going on now. You know, the flu season's coming to an end, just so you all know that.
Really? There was a flu season?
Yes, there was.
Huh. I didn't know.
Yeah.
It didn't affect me somehow.
It's really interesting how, you know, the advertisements have definitely noticeably decreased, you know, as we come to this. Although there's still some outliers there that are still saying, there's still time, you can still protect yourself, even though it's the tail end.
It's never
too late.
I've heard those advertisements here. Yeah. Right here on WLPO.
I'm sure.
Yes, but they're from the national end of things.
Right, there are paid advertisers here that have to do that. So,
And it's the government.
You know, well, yes. And when you look at when 70% of advertising dollars are funded by the pharmaceutical industry, you wonder why there's such a bias, you know, within the media.
Right.
Irrelevant to the media, whether it be television, you know, radio, newspaper, everything. I mean, it's all incredibly biased media, you know, coverage. And people buy into that because they think if they hear it on the radio or on the TV or read it in the paper, that it's true.
Right.
And
it's true.
Absolutely fact, because no one would ever lie to you.
That's right.
Or no one would ever mislead you in any way.
That's right. I saw it on the internet. It's got to be true.
Yeah.
And of course, they don't have lobbyists or anything like that going through Congress.
Right, right.
You know, paying millions of dollars to these congressmen that can't be bought.
Yeah.
You know, how does somebody that makes $150,000 a year end up with a net wealth of $14-15 million just after a couple of years of being in Congress?
Yeah.
How does that happen? I can tell you how it happens.
Yeah.
It's called Pfizer.
Right. Right.
Bear.
Right. It's interesting because, you know, you look, I've said this, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, I've been in situations where I've been kind of, you know, started flowing into leadership positions in different organizations and stuff like that. And I find it that I get to a certain point and I withdraw, because at some point you have to start compromising. And I'm just not willing to compromise on how I think and how how I perceive my, you know, my reality. And you look at that in politics and, you know, even from the lowest levels of government, I think that people honestly go into it with absolutely genuine and true intentions of helping.
Sure.
Okay. But the higher the level you go, the more you have to compromise. And there's nobody, there's not a single person out there that gets to levels, especially going up to the state level. What do you mean locally, in the county level? But when you start getting into state level and then national level, they have all sold their souls. And if they haven't sold their souls, they don't last.
Right.
You know, they just don't last.
Altruism gets set aside.
Right. And that's the saddest part of the whole thing.
It is.
You think about this. If people went in there with the truest intentions for the good of everyone, we would never have these issues. But we start getting into these incredible me first, and when I'm taken care of, then we'll think about everybody else. And you saw that happen. You saw that happen through the entire last 4 years. It became so evident and obvious, you know, of what was going on, and yet people still sit back and, you know, we're coming into another, you know, I dread the next, you know, what, 8 months. Absolutely dread it.
You know, 240 some days
to listen to what the media is going to do. And now we look at pretty much right now as it stands, we look at what the candidates are. I mean, you know, one has pretty much locked up the nomination and the other one is the incumbent. So, you know, unless something drastic changes, that's it.
That's what we got.
So now we go into the incredible fighting game, you know, the finger pointing,
the nastiness.
Yeah. And it's going to get nasty.
It's going to get real nasty.
Yeah.
And it's, yuck.
And you want, you know, you look at that, and this is one of the things people will say to me, well, did you see this or did you hear about this? I go, you know what? I actually, I stay away from the vast majority of media. I rarely will ever listen to the news. I never will intentionally listen to the news. Sometimes I'll get it by just being, you know, being around it in a particular circumstances that I'm in. But I don't listen to it because it is so polarizing. And you know what? I sleep a lot better at night.
Right. And it's so biased.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like I always, you know, tried to live my life doing the honest way and trying to do what's right. I'm not saying that I'm always right, but that's kind of the direction I really want to go in. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating when you see this incredible dishonesty and I don't know, sometimes downright criminal activity going on.
Yes, and it's difficult dealing with what we refer to as the truth, because most people really don't want the truth.
Right.
They want to hear something that is going to reaffirm their belief system.
Yeah.
And so they're going to go to a medium, you know, whether it be conservative or liberal, doesn't matter.
Right.
Which, you know, what your political philosophy is, they're going to find something that will reinforce their belief system.
Yeah. This is the thing that I've seen, and especially in the last, probably the last 8 years. Whether you agree with me or disagree with me, whatever side of the fence I'm on, and if you're on the opposite side of the fence, there used to be a point in time where we could have conversations, we could have disagreements, and we can walk away and still be friends. Okay,
right.
And since 2016, that has pretty much gone by the wayside. You know, and it's like, you know, if you disagree with me, then, you know, you should probably be put in jail or hung.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's no middle ground.
Right.
There's no saying like, you know, I respect your opinion. However, I disagree. You know, we still agree to be friends, but we disagree. Okay. And I've had that not from a political standpoint, but from a healthcare standpoint. You know, I can think of one particular patient of mine. We very much see things quite differently as far as our healthcare systems. However, they have been a patient of mine for, oh my God, 30 plus years. And we've maintained a wonderful relationship, absolutely fantastic relationship. However, we very much disagree on certain aspects of health and what should and shouldn't be done. And,
okay.
You know, again, things came a little bit more prominent during the whole last 4 years of the crazy world we lived in.
Sure.
And but through all of that, we still maintained, you know, a very good, positive relationship. And I think people have the right to have their own opinions on things. Not a problem. I have no problem with that at all.
Right.
But please have something to back that up with, not just because so-and-so said so.
Right.
You know, I love when people don't have anything to back it up.
And that's, you know, that's another issue where if people don't have any substance for the issue that they're talking about, then they'll attack the person because that's all they have left.
Right, right.
And that's where relationships are in jeopardy.
And you look at that, and so this is the thing. Going back to putting that in the perspective of healthcare, you know, as me as being my area of expertise is within the central nervous system, and that the central nervous system is directly affected by three different forms of stress that come within our environment. And that is, first of all, the physical stress. You know, we fall and we hurt ourselves. We lift something heavy. We get in a car accident. Those are physical stresses on the body. Then we have chemical stresses on the body. What we eat, what we drink, what we're exposed to our environment, smoking, alcohol, drugs, all those things create the chemical stresses on our body. And then we go into the third one, which I personally in my entire career has found out is the actual largest one. Everybody focuses on the first one being a
right.
physical injury,
mm-hmm.
and they never focus on the most important one, and that is the emotional stress we put in our lives. So when you and I oppose each other vehemently against, let's say, a political standpoint, okay, that is putting a phenomenal amount of emotional stress within our central nervous systems. It increases our cortisol levels. It just really fires up the whole system. And when someone is living on, you know, when you have those short-term bouts of stress, you know, which is how we survived as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was intended to have a little, you know, the whole flight or flight condition of like, hey, I'm in danger. I'm either going to fight or I'm going to run.
Right.
Okay. But those were designed for short-term purposes,
right.
for survival.
Right.
That has changed a lot because, you know what, we don't worry so much about survival anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a pretty safe environment.
Right.
Okay. However, what we're dealing with is these chronic, insidious, underlying emotional stresses that really get at us and eat at us. And
right.
that's where the real unhealthy
mm-hmm.
burn comes. And that's where the nervous system really takes a hit from that.
Right. I read a study one time that said even when you walk into another room and you forget why you walked into that other room, that's actually part of the fight or flight that's in your mind because you have a new environment,
right?
And you're scanning for danger,
right? Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You are scanning for danger.
That's right. And we do have a call.
Yes.
Let's see what's going on here. Good morning, caller. You are on with Dr. Ken Curbs. How are you this morning?
Good. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
I saw an article. This was in February. It's called 99 million people. With the largest global vaccine safety study about the COVID vaccine.
Uh-huh.
Global Vaccine Data Network. Have you heard of that?
I have not, no.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, let me just, anyone listening, interested, just Google GVAN study, 99 million people. This was in Auckland. Now, there was 10 different countries, and it was, I didn't see how long it had. I guess there's still results. Trying to get the results, but the preliminary studies. Well, what they came up with, that they did show myocarditis, pericarditis, and
Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Guillain-Barré syndrome, thank you.
Yep.
And cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, I guess that's blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
And they said possible safety signals for transverse myelitis, that's inflammation of part of the spinal cord.
Right.
That's the viral vector, that's like the Johnson & Johnson, and acute disseminated encephalitis, inflammation and swelling of the brain.
Right.
That's the viral vector and mRNA vaccines. So, they said and they're finding rare, they didn't mention, I didn't go into the depth, because you have more, a bigger population with 99 million people.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding the rarer things that, you know, didn't show up after what 8 weeks? Is that when they released?
Right. Yeah. Well, it was all, remember the term safe and effective. Okay. That was shoved down our throats from the beginning and still all the way through the entire thing about the safe and effectiveness of it. And as we started seeing these type of conditions starting to erupt in a population that you would never expect things like that, or it would be so infinitesimally rare that it wouldn't even put a glitch on the radar. And all of a sudden it's becoming prominent. Yeah, that people need to start paying attention, you know, and you're going to see all this retrospective data coming out, you know, as time goes on and as they start analyzing the data and realize what a incredible, I call it a mistake they made in handling it the way in which they did.
Well, they're saying, you know, like even both the mRNA, whatever, and the viral ones. You know, problems with the spinal cord. I mean, that's along your line. I mean,
but that's what happens with a lot of vaccines. Is it it will create, you know, brain inflammation. And this is where people have a lot of reactions. It's interesting because I'm currently almost finished with another book. I remember I talked about a book called The Germ Theory that I read. But then this one, and now is a comparison between Louis Pasteur, who is held as this incredible hero in history, and then Antoine Bechamp, who was one of his contemporary. Antoine Bechamp was a researcher, a medical doctor, and we're going back into the 1800s. Louis Pasteur was a chemist, you know, and Louis Pasteur was the marketer of the day, and he came in favor with Napoleon, who was the dictator. At that time, and so his theories were put into play, and this is why he was the one who developed this whole vaccine thing. And when you look at some of the statistics back then, you know, where they were shoving vaccines down people's throats, especially in the military and so forth, and to get rid of these diseases, and they found that when they focused on sanitation and water purification and stuff like that, it had far more of an impact on disease than any vaccination ever did. And actually, in the populations that were heavily vaccinated, the incidence of these diseases were much greater because you were inducing these viruses and these foreign material directly into the body. You have to realize that when a person is exposed to some type of disease, okay, it can only enter the body one of two ways. It either enters the body via the respiratory system, meaning you're breathing it in, or it enters the body through the digestive system, meaning you're ingesting it into your body through your mouth, okay? But our bodies are set up in a way that our immune systems have the ability to fight that off. That's why we have mucous membranes in our nose and our mouth. That's why we have increased stomach acid in our stomach. That's why we have an immune system. That's why we have a lymphatic system. These are all systems that are set up to protect the body from that mode of entry, which is the way that it enters. When we got into the vaccine world, we bypassed those portals of entry and we started injecting these things directly into the bloodstream. And that's where the problem lies, is that now you're bypassing the normal defense mechanisms of the body, and you're forcing the body to go into a significant reaction to these foreign proteins and stuff that are injected into the body. This is one of the theories that have come into play with, you know, back when I was a kid, and I'm sure when you were a child, you never heard of a kid with a peanut allergy. I mean, that did, you know, so many kids literally, my son literally ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day for lunch from the time he was in kindergarten or first grade through high school. That's what he ate.
I remember going to school, you know, that was the easiest sandwich to make.
Yeah. Right. And that was a staple. And nobody ever thought twice about it. Now, what people don't realize is that what they started doing is they started putting peanut oil into vaccines. Okay, they were another adjuvant that was added into that, and they didn't have to list it as an ingredient because it was considered safe. It was a food product. However, what you have to realize is that peanut oil is a protein, and when you inject peanut oil and you bypass the normal, peanut oil should enter the body through the mouth, not into the bloodstream. So when the body, all of a sudden, this foreign protein is injected into the body, it recognizes it as foreign, and it sets up an immune response. And these kids develop these anaphylactic reactions, and there have been many who have died as a direct result of not even eating the peanut butter, but let's say, you know, your boyfriend ate a peanut butter sandwich and you were allergic to peanuts and you kissed him. And it was that some people had that much of a sensitivity that even a residual effect on that, even though it wasn't directly ingested, created a significant immune response. And people don't realize that. You know, we don't talk about those things. And so the thing is, this whole concept of vaccines, and you got to realize, you know, back when you were a child, first of all, if you got one or two, that was a lot. The current schedule, you know, I've talked about this in the past. In 1986, the schedule was 14 vaccines by the time a kid was age 18. What changed in 86 was a law was passed eliminating all liability from vaccine manufacturers and doctors who administer the vaccines, any liability for anybody who was injured or killed as a direct result of a vaccine injection. And so what happened was, once that liability was removed, it gave carte blanche to the pharmaceutical industry, you know. Companies like Pfizer and Bayer and Moderna and all these things went absolutely haywire because there was no longer a liability imposed with that. All right. And so as a result of that, the vaccine schedule went from 14 in 1986 to currently 72 vaccines. Okay. That is the current childhood schedule. You also can see, and I've talked about this in years past, is that it used to be you got to a certain point in childhood and then you were done. But now look what's happening. We've got the whole adult vaccine schedule now. You know, you got to get your yearly flu shot, and now your yearly COVID shot, and your pneumonia shot, and your shingle shot. And then what happened this year? We kicked in another one, the RSV, you know. So in the last couple of years, we've gone to the whole yearly COVID booster and the RSV, you know. And RSV was a disease that was typically of a concern with newborn infants and very small children, because it's a respiratory virus that really can have a lot of effect. But I remember when my children were small, they discontinued the RSV vaccine because it was so detrimental and there were so many side effects and people were having so much issue that they took it off the market. It's interesting, just in the last 2 years, all of a sudden it's resurfaced again, you know. And
I was going to say that, like you say, a lot of ingredients aren't listed. How much what they put in there for stabilizers and all this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
That they did not test on people as far.
Right. See, what's interesting is when they do a study on this, a vaccine versus no vaccine, what they do is, I find this crazy. Let's say you have the vaccine, but all the what are called adjuvants, all the things that are added, there's aluminum, there's mercury, there's formaldehyde, there's all these preservatives, antibiotics, and all the stuff that are added in to have a stronger response or to suppress the system so a person doesn't react severely to it. Well, when they test that in the placebo, supposedly, what they do is they just remove the virus part of it, but they still inject all those adjuvants. So they say there's really no there's little difference between whether, you know, whether they're vaccinated with the placebo or with the real vaccine. Well, they're not truly doing that. If you were doing a true study, you would be injecting one group with the vaccine and the other group with like saline solution with a totally inert thing, and then see what their reactions are, and it'd be a different story. But they say, oh, they can't do that because, you know, that would be, you know, they would be harming people. It's like, you know what? I'd be the first one to step up for that. Please give me the placebo and let's see what happens.
Right. Well, yeah. How foreign, like, are the mRNA proteins as far as to the body?
Yeah.
As far as-
yeah. Because, again, they've been genetically altered. So now you're not even messing with, what we were designed and how we evolved. Now you're taking something that has been genetically altered and now you're inducing this. So the body is going to have a whole different response. And believe me, you know, this stuff, again, it's all coming to the surface now with all the incredible amounts of side effects and, you know, people dying. I mean, young people dying in very short periods of time post vaccination or booster, you know, and, it's amazing. You know, and they might have gotten through the first vaccination. But again, when you boost it, you then re-stimulate that nervous system even harder. It's like somebody who got stung by a bee and they had a little reaction. But the second time they got stung by a bee, they had a stronger reaction. The third time they had an anaphylactic reaction and died. OK, that's what happens with these type of things, is that when you keep re-stimulating the nervous system by injecting these foreign proteins and all these other adjuvant chemicals into the system, your body is going to have a stronger response and it's going to pay a price.
All the children that got these mRNAs.
Yeah.
10, 20 years, what's going to happen?
Time's going to tell. I'm telling you, time is going to tell. You will see things happening that are, you know, this was like such a huge experiment. You know, y'all were the guinea pigs out there. You know,
they were trying to get this in all the vaccines before COVID.
Right, yep.
But, you know, this gave them the opportunity.
This was the golden opportunity. This was the golden opportunity that they... Yep.
I read they're still pushing to get all the vaccines because it's much cheaper to make these
yep.
mRNA vaccines.
Yep. And you got to realize that these mRNA, you know, that's why you'll see sometimes people say, well, you know, it'll say with a particular vaccination, if you have an allergy to eggs, you know, you don't want to get this vaccine because these viruses are grown in egg-based solutions, so albumin, you know. And so what happens is when you take, so let's say you grow a virus in some type of a medium, okay? It has to have very specific temperature and moisture controls and stuff like that for it to replicate and for it to grow. But now we're going to take that virus and we're going to place it into the vaccine. So people think that they like strain out the virus, you know, and put it in the vaccine. Well, no, they can't do that. So what happens is this growing medium that it is also included in it, and these are foreign proteins. So now when you take these things and inject them into the bloodstream, again, bypassing the digestive system, which is where all proteins are processed in our body, is through our digestion, not through our blood, okay? And you do that, that body is going to have an incredibly strong reaction to that. Now, a lot of people will get away with it, at least for a while. But when you keep doing that, something's going to happen and something's going to go wrong. When you look at...
As children age, their bodies change. I mean, when they're young, they might be able to reject this.
Right.
As they get older, they're...
Look what's happened to all of it since 1986. In 1986, the autism rate was about 1 in 10,000. The current autism rate is 1 in like 45. You know, it's so dramatically, you know, 50 years ago, you didn't hear about autism. Now we have entire systems, homes, education systems that are all tied into directed towards autistic kids. And we treat this as if this is like some curse that they were born with, when in fact, many times it was induced. And then, I mean, there's a lot of factors that come into play with that. But when you see a situation of a perfectly healthy child who is progressing very normally, and at about 18 months, all of a sudden, shortly after a particular vaccination, they revert and go into this blank stare and revert into autism. That isn't coincidental. And yet we play this ignorant thing and brush it off and say, oh, it's no big deal. They were born that way. You know, they'll never put the credit where it should be, you know, and that is with these type of things that are happening.
That's similar to that Guillain-Barré syndrome.
With Guillain-Barré syndrome, yeah.
Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Yep. It was a huge Guillain-Barré was a huge problem back in the first wave of the swine flu back in the late 70s. That was one of the reasons they backed off and stopped on it. My college roommate, my graduate school roommate, his aunt was paralyzed for the remainder of her life due to Guillain-Barré from the swine flu vaccine, and died as a result of that. And you saw a lot of instances of Guillain-Barré, and they're even warning about it, you know, now. I mean, when you get that, because again, a person can have a very serious reaction. Now, not everybody's going to do that, but when people have those reactions, you better wake up and say, wait a minute, what are we doing here? And is it really necessary? You know, I still say, and, you know, as you start reading the research, what had more of an effect on disease control was not vaccinations. It was plumbing, sewage, and water treatment had far more. You know, when we cleaned up the cities and got rid of the severe overcrowding and we started having indoor plumbing and doing that, that related more to the decrease in any disease or plague or anything like that. It was always related to filth and rats and, you know, all that stuff, you know. So once you start cleaning up those type of things, the disease just goes away. You know, you don't have those issues. But however, vaccines were introduced into that time. You know, back Jenner was the first one with the smallpox, you know, and then Pasteur really played that. And again, when you read the history of that, it was for profit. They were making a lot of money. We're talking back in the 1800s. You know, it was incredibly profitable. And so they would pass laws at the time forcing vaccination.
Well, that's why the big, what do you call it? Controversy against the pharmaceutical companies. They did not want stuff like ivermectin where you treat it and then it's done.
Right. You don't want to have it done. Okay. See, the problem is if diseases could be cured, there would be not a lot of use for a lot of health care. You know, the problem is we want to promote chronic disease. You know, when you look at just the burden of what type 2 diabetes is doing to our country, you know, and the industry that is created around that trillion-dollar healthcare industry, where the entire diabetes situation is going to literally bankrupt our world because of this, and yet it's something that can totally be controlled by diet. You know, I mean, we have a food industry that's intimately tied in with the pharmaceutical industry, so we create the problem, and then we have, quote, the solution to the problem, but in fact, nothing fixes it. It just perpetuates it, you know, and
well,
it just goes on and on.
Well, doctor, because someone else might want to, but I'm going to check in this study. 99 million is a big study.
Yeah.
Unless it goes against the pharmaceutical companies, they might shut it down.
Right. Well, it's amazing how a lot of that information gets suppressed and it doesn't get a lot of media coverage, you know, and that's the problem. But until people start talking about it, you're not going to hear about it.
But this is from 10 different countries.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Doc.
Yeah, thank you so much. I always appreciate your comment.
Thanks, Doug. All right. What a great call, huh?
Yeah.
So 433-1433, if you would like to join the conversation with Dr. Ken Kerbs here on Ask the Pro, WLVL 1340 AM, streaming worldwide at WLVL.com.
It's incredibly frustrating when you're in the side of healthcare that I'm in, and you look at this, and you know, obviously, the medical profession is trained in a very specific way because, you know, the entire healthcare system, including the schools that teach the doctors, are controlled by the pharmaceutical industries. Who do you think funds the medical schools?
Exactly.
Okay. And so we train them from day one. And again, they all go in with all the best intentions. Absolutely. But anybody who's gone through medical training knows it's overwhelming. I mean, you're just so inundated. You know, your life is just, you know, sucked away because of all that you have to learn. And the entire program is geared towards find a symptom. Here's the chemical to give for that symptom. Right. It's never about what's the underlying cause. How much nutritional education do medical doctors get? Talk to any of them. Virtually none.
Right.
You know, and if they don't even get a one semester class in it, you know, they might get some little tidbits. So, you know, I love when someone talks about nutritional advice and they go, don't do this until you talk to your doctor. I'm thinking like, well, what the heck does your doctor know about that?
Nothing.
You know, it's like you got to start doing your own research. You know, you've got to look at this when, you know, when I can sit there and I can help a person make dietary changes and go from, you know, losing 120 plus pounds, you know, and getting off all of their a diabetic medication and literally reversing the type 2 diabetes purely because of the diet that they're eating, there's something wrong going out there because no one ever gives nutritional advice. Even the American Diabetes Association sits there and promotes carbohydrates, which is just the most craziest thing I've ever seen. The Heart Association, all these things, they promote the stuff that creates the diseases. And yet, you know, and they're all funded by sugar companies and, you know, and all these, you know, highly processed food companies, the cereal companies and all the stuff that pour millions and millions of dollars into these things.
Job security.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we shouldn't have type 2 diabetes shouldn't even exist. Okay. Right. It used to be called adult onset diabetes. That's what it was always called. But when we started seeing 4 and 5 year old children developing diabetes, they couldn't call it adult onset anymore. And that's where the type 2 diabetes came into play. And when you see a 5 year old kid who has type 2 diabetes and is insulin dependent, now we're not talking about type 1 diabetes. Now, type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease where the body attacks its own pancreas, and that's another whole topic. But type 2 diabetes is totally preventable and totally manageable through dietary and lifestyle habits. Totally.
So a 4 year old is just eating
garbage.
And mom and dad are at fault.
Garbage. Well, mom and dad aren't necessarily at fault. Mom and dad have been programmed and trained that that's what it is. You know, that's the way you eat. You know, breakfast cereal. You know, you're doing your child harm if you don't feed them breakfast cereal. Really? 50 to 60% sugar in breakfast cereal, and that's considered healthy. You know, Fruity Pebbles are considered a healthy breakfast. I just don't. Pop Tarts are considered a healthy breakfast. You know, I mean, it amazes me what people will eat and then. And think it's and absolutely are convinced that it's healthy.
Wow.
And yet we look at this phenomenal amount of obesity and then, you know, obesity leading then to all kinds of other complications of high blood pressure and high cholesterol and
bad knees, bad hips.
Right. Terrible joints and, you know, and all that. And then obviously the diabetes being the number one.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Off to the phones. Good morning, caller. You are on with Dr. Ken Kerbs.
Good morning, Eric and Dr. Ken.
Good morning.
Dr. Ken, if you remember last month I called and I was the guy with the sleeping disorder.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, after your brief impromptu consultation on the air we had, I've actually been able to get 3, maybe 4 hours of sleep here and there.
Wow.
You know, just having a different opinion on something seemed to make a difference. And I really want to thank you for spending your money to go on Ask the Pro and answer questions to people who have problems.
Well, yeah, let me tell you, you just made my day because I'm telling you something. I remember that conversation, and Eric and I talked after we got off the air, and I'm going like, oh, my God, I wanted to spend another hour with this guy on the phone, you know, because I didn't want – the time ran out, and I didn't want to let that go because I was wondering, like, what happened? You know, did anything happen? So, you know, because I never know. You know, let me tell you, that was a totally unplanned conversation. I had no idea it was going to go where it went.
I really didn't like putting all my information out there to the public, but you know, sometimes you have to do that.
You have not. Let me tell you something. I so admire you for doing that because that's the one thing that kind of blew me away. You shared far more than what most people would share, and I give you a phenomenal amount of credit because that's your first step. You know, that's your first step out there to say, hey, look, there's a way out of this. You know, you have a way out of this. It's not too late. You know, but the only one that can do it is you. You know, there's a lot of help out there, but until you make the decision yourself, that's when things are going to shift for you. And they can shift pretty dramatically. I've seen such major changes in people's lives just because they made the decision to do that. And I think that, you know, you have to give yourself credit, first of all, for reaching out. Like I said, when you first called and said, I can't sleep, I'm up all night, and I haven't slept in 9 years or whatever that was, you know.
15 years.
Okay. Oh, well, I think it was 2000. Was it 2009 that you said?
2009.
Yeah, 2009. Because I said, that's when you said that, it clicked. My brain just clicked and said, what happened? Something happened. And then you shared that. And it was like, see, now that's what you have to look at. Okay, that's where you have to go back to and resolve some of the issues and some of your perceptions of what happened then and how that severely affected your life, actually. I mean, yeah. You know, you said it affected everything from, you know, relationships to marriage to work to everything. You know, it changed your life because of that. Well, you know what? You have the ability to change your life again. You know, but in a more positive direction, you know, and moving forward. You know, you said you had cleaned your act up a couple different times and was able to stick with it for a while. Well, you know what? If you did it before, you can do it again.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and there's no reason for you not to. And when you do that and realize that you are the one ultimately responsible for your own actions, all of a sudden, it doesn't become as difficult. It's not easy, you know, but and there's still going to be those struggles, but you're the one that's still in control. You know, I deal with those things myself, you know, sometimes, you know, when it's like, oh, I want to do that, you know, and then sometimes I'll do it and I regret it. And then other times I'll say when I can get past it and move forward, all of a sudden there's an incredible sense of accomplishment, you know, that says, hey, I did it once. I know I can do it again. And I know you can, too. Yeah.
You know, I'd like to think so.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You gotta trust yourself.
On a lighter note, I know we were talking about gardening earlier.
Yeah.
Yes, all my sticks and twigs are picked up, and I've rolled my lawn twice. I'm probably going to roll it again today.
There you go.
I got crocuses and, yeah. I don't know, tulips and yeah. all kinds of stuff.
Now, see,
coming
that's one thing interesting. I never, ever will roll my lawn. Because, see, when you roll your lawn, you compress all the you know, the worms and all the other stuff in there, you know.
Tell you what, you roll the lawn one night, and then you can come out and you can find them easy.
But squish them out of there.
It might be a free fishing weekend coming
there
up.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you again.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
bye.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
All right. That's a great
way to end
the show.
Oh, nice to hear that. I just, you know, you never know how far reach, you know, when you say something like that. I never know. I mean, that was such a spur of the moment, spontaneous conversation that I never thought would go where it went and thought, wow.
There it is.
You know, he's been on my mind a lot since then. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so great to hear.
Well, thank you, Dr. Ken Kerbs.
Yeah.
If you'd like a consultation with the good doctor, 434-0671, 434-0671. And doctor, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.